So today we turn to John's Gospel, to the first chapter. Begin reading with the 29th verse. The next day he, John, saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and testified that this is the Son of God." The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples. And as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which translated means Peter. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. We are now a couple of weeks into the new year. And I wonder, what are you looking for in 2026? When you look at your life, at your relationships, at the world today, what is it that you're looking for? Is what you're looking for today different than what you were looking for a year ago, 3 years ago, 10 years ago, 25 years ago, 60 years ago? The "what are you looking for" question, I think, is one we often associate with youth, right? We ask our children, our grandchildren, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" We ask teenagers and young adults, what do you want to major in college? What do you do for a living? What are your passions, your hobbies? And sometimes I think when we reach a certain age, we think we've graduated from that looking forward piece. What are you looking for? But the question is, Jesus asks that of us, no matter what our age or where we are in life. This question that Jesus asks has the power to reorient our lives and to begin changing our world. What if you and I ask that question of ourselves every day? What if asking that question as we brushed our teeth in the morning, "What are you looking for today?" became part of our spiritual practice. What are you looking for? What is it that restless place deep inside your heart is calling you forward? Some of you know I'm not a great fan of AI, artificial intelligence. I know that it can do good things. It's here with us. We're going to have to learn how to live with us. But some of the potential it carries, quite frankly, scares me. But this week I dipped my toe in a little bit. Just sort of wondered. I mean, I've been Googling things for years, right? Isn't that sort of the same thing? It sort of builds on that. I wanted to see what it would do. So, plug into ChatGPT. What is the world looking for? I was amazed at the answer. Here's the response from AI. That question has been asked in every age by philosophers, poets, psychologists, and people lying awake at night. The answers vary, but they tend to circle the same few longings. At a deep level, most people are looking for meaning, a sense that their life matters and fits into something larger than just survival, work, or distraction. Closely following that is belonging. People want to be known and loved without having to perform or pretend. People also seek security, freedom from fear, from chaos, and from loss. Another powerful desire, it went on, is identity. We want to know who we are and that our identity is good, worthy, and recognizable. And beneath all of these things, it responded, is a longing for hope, that pain is not the final word, that love outlasts loss, that brokenness can be healed, and that death does not erase meaning. If you ask me, that's a pretty good summary of what it is we're longing for. It tells me that ChatGPT knows Maslow's hierarchy of needs, right? Any of you who've taken psychology know that. But that's a pretty good summary, I think, of what it is that most of us feel inside. People are searching for meaning, for belonging, for security, for identity, and beneath all of that, for hope. Our answers to that question probably reveal more about us, about our life, our relationships, than the things that we are actually looking for. Whatever it is that we are looking for sets a particular course and a particular direction for our life. It asks something of us. Is your life on course with what it is that you're looking for? Are you headed in a good direction? If not, maybe it's time to change what you're looking for or to make a course correction. I'm sure that you've heard about the Buddhist monks who are walking from Texas to Washington, D.C. to spread peace in the world. Last week, they traveled on foot through South Carolina with their dog, Aloka. Who doesn't love the dog? They're walking through North Carolina now. They have been surrounded by people who are walking with them, sometimes hundreds of people who are lining sidewalks and country roads just to get a glimpse of them as they passed by. Most nights, I have noticed, they are sleeping, staying in Christian churches. One night they stayed in a small rural church in Edgefield County, where I served as pastor from 1980 to 1984. McKendry. Yes, it gave me a little bit of connection to what's going on with that. It's captured people's imagination. And I don't think it's just because they're walking for peace, although that's part of it. After all, don't we want peace in the world? Isn't that the answer to the beauty pageant question? You know, what do you want most? What, world peace? I mean, that's just the answer. But I think it's for another reason. They seem to have all of those longings that we've talked about. It seems that they have found meaning, belonging, security, identity, purpose, and hope. I think that's why they're attracting such big crowds of people, is that people are searching and longing for these things. So how would you answer that question this morning? What are you looking for? Don't you sometimes just want the answer? Haven't you sometimes wished or thought that maybe there's a book somewhere that if I just read it thoroughly enough, it will tell me what I need to know? Is there a program on my computer that can give a short answer to what will work for me? Is there a shortcut that I can use to get to that place? What are you looking for? I think sometimes some of us would rather have somebody give us the answer. This is what you need to be looking for, even if we don't accept it or follow it, than have to carry the question. Throughout the gospel accounts, Jesus rarely gives direct answers. If someone asks him a question, he often counters with another question. And he doesn't do that in today's gospel either. When the two disciples ask, "Where are you staying?" he doesn't give them an answer. He doesn't give them an address that they can plug into their GPS or information about where he's headed next or what it is that he's up to or how he intends to spend his time. He simply extends an invitation. Come and see. Come and see for yourself. He's inviting them and inviting us to live and to experience his question. It's a question I think we don't think about very much. If we do, we try to avoid it or deny answering it. To answer this question means that we have to face our deepest desires and longings. We have to deal with feeling our hurts and our losses, looking at what we've done and left undone, acknowledging the emptiness within, imagining or dreaming a what's next kind of life, asking questions about ultimate importance, naming the things that shape and form our lives. And that can be risky and it can be scary. It means getting real and being honest and vulnerable and open. And when you consider that and hear Jesus ask you the question, what are you looking for? It sounds a little different. I'm thinking about my star word for this year, our star words, the word on the stars, like the star that guided the wise men to Jesus, that this year can lead us closer and closer to Jesus himself. My star word is adventure. Is there some way that this word might be guiding my answer to that question? Not that adventure is the answer to the question of what is it that you're looking for, but maybe it's that having a spirit of adventure, a spirit of holy curiosity, might put me on the path that I need to be traveling. Adventure is definitely in the spirit of Jesus' invitation. Come and see. Are you looking for healing and wholeness? Come and see. Are you looking for forgiveness and reconciliation? Come and see. Are you looking for hope and courage? Come and see. Are you looking for justice and change? Come and see. Are you looking for light and clarity? Come and see. Are you looking for life? Life abundant. Life everlasting. Come and see. You get the idea. In whatever ways that you might answer Jesus' question, his response is always the same. Come. Come with me. Come with me and see. Come with me and together we'll figure it out. It's the promise that there is somewhere to go and there is something to see and something to experience in his presence. What are you looking for today? And what would it mean for you after this service is over to go look? In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.